In your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Ezekiel chapter 46, our Old Testament reading this morning. Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Thus saith the Lord, the gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be opened, and in the day of the new moon it shall be opened. And the prince shall enter by the way of the porch of that gate without, and shall stand by the post of the gate, and the priests shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offerings, and he shall worship at the threshold of the gate. Then he shall go forth, but the gate shall not be shut until the evening. Likewise, the people of the land shall worship at the door of this gate before the Lord in the Sabbaths and in the new moons. And the burnt offering that the prince shall offer unto the Lord in the Sabbath day shall be 6 lambs without blemish and a ram without blemish. And the meat offering shall be an ephah for a ram, and the meat offering for the lambs, as he shall be able to give, and an hin of oil to an ephah. And in the day of the new moon, it shall be a young bullock without blemish, and 6 lambs and a ram, they shall be without blemish. And he shall prepare a meat offering, an ephah for a bullock, and an ephah for a ram, and for the lambs, according as his hand shall attain unto, and an hin of oil to an ephah. And when the prince shall enter, he shall go in by the way of the porch of that gate, and he shall go forth by the way thereof. But when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feasts, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by way of the south gate, and he that entereth by the way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in, but shall go forth over against it. And the prince in the midst of them, when they go in, shall go in, and when they go forth, shall go forth. And in the feasts and in the solemnities, the meat offering shall be an ephah to a bullock and an ephah to a ram, and to the lambs as he is able to give, and an hin of oil to an ephah. Now, when the prince shall prepare a voluntary burnt offering or peace offerings voluntarily unto the Lord, one shall then open him the gate that looketh toward the east, and he shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offerings as he did on the Sabbath day. Then he shall go forth, and after his going forth, one shall shut the gate. Thou shalt daily prepare a burnt offering unto the Lord of a lamb of the first year without blemish. Thou shalt prepare it every morning, and thou shalt prepare a meat offering for it every morning, the 6th part of an ephah, and the 3rd part of an hin of oil, to temper with the fine flour, a meat offering continually by a perpetual ordinance unto the Lord. Thus shall they prepare the lamb, and the meat offering, and the oil, every morning for a continual burnt offering. Thus saith the Lord God, if the prince give a gift unto any of his sons, the inheritance thereof shall be his sons. It shall be their possession by inheritance. But if he give a gift of his inheritance to one of his servants, then it shall be his to the year of liberty, after it shall return to the prince, but his inheritance shall be his sons for them. Moreover, the prince shall not take of the people's inheritance by oppression, to thrust them out of their possession, but he shall give his son's inheritance out of his own possession, that my people be not scattered every man from his possession. After he brought me through the entry, which was at the side of the gate, into the holy chambers of the priests, which looked toward the north, and behold, there was a place on the 2 sides westward, Then said he unto me, This is the place where the priests shall boil the trespass offering and the sin offering, where they shall bake the meat offering, that they bear them not out into the utter court to sanctify the people. Then he brought me forth into the utter court and caused me to pass by the four corners of the court. And behold, in every corner of the court there was a court. In the four corners of the court there were courts joined of 40 cubits long and 30 broad. These four corners were of one measure. And there was a row of building round about in them, round about them four, and it was made with boiling places under the rows round about. Then said he unto me, These are the places of them that boil, where the ministers of the house shall boil the sacrifice of the people. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, we have a highly symbolic passage speaking of the days of the New Testament, the church of the days of the Prince, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have enjoyed getting back into William Greenhill, Westminster Divine, and his commentary on Ezekiel. He is very godly, and if you're looking for a deeper understanding that we can get into in a reading, I would highly recommend that commentary. Let's go ahead and talk about a few things here. So we have now this gate that looks toward the east. That is the gate that is exclusively for the prince, right? That's where the Lord Jesus Christ, the prince, the head of the church, that's where he enters in. Some commentators will make the prince the civil magistrate of the gospel age. I don't think that's correct. I think this is spoken of Christ, and it is in the person of Christ that the glory returns to the church. As we said before, back in 43 and 44. So notice that he meets with his people on what day? The Sabbath day. That eastern gate is shut the other 6 days of the week, because those are working days. Right? Isn't that what it said? Yes, thus saith the Lord, the gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be opened, and in the day of the new moon it shall be opened. Well, we have a very full understanding then of the fourth commandment there, that it's not simply a command to keep one day holy, but it is a command to work commonly on the other days of the week. The 6 working days, as they are called, and then the 1 Sabbath day. Very, very important for us to remember that the fourth commandment also enjoins 6 days of work upon us. I know there have been some Bible expositors that have disagreed with that, but it is difficult to get over what Ezekiel 46 says here. So that's the first. Notice also that the prince alone comes in through the east gate. But then the north gate and the south gate are opened. And the people of God, their movements in the temple are interesting, right? They come in the south gate, and when they come in the south gate, they don't go back out by the south gate. They travel all the way through to the north gate. And those that come in from the north gate, they don't go back out by the north gate. They travel in and exit then out the south gate. They go straight through. In other words, right, what's the symbology mean here? We're not of those who turn back unto perdition, but to go ahead through to the saving of the soul. This is, we come into commune with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we are indeed truly communing with the Lord Jesus Christ, we will go through step by step, forward in that linear fashion. We will not return back the way we came. We will go through. And so that, I think, is what's being taught here. The offerings are prepared and they will go forward. There will be this greater offering than what was offered in the days of the Old Testament. It is a greater offering. It is much greater. Okay, and so this will also be undertaken on the Sabbath day, and it is not that we're going to bring animals, but that we are going to offer those greater things to the Lord. in these days of the New Testament, right? We're offering ourselves as living sacrifices. And so the priest shall prepare these offerings and so on. Then we come down to verse 9. Notice that the prince goes in and out the east gate only. Right? That's his special entrance. He is separate from the rest, but he does come in and to commune with his people into this earthly sanctuary that is being described here. Okay, so then there is something else that is said. There's all of these statements about other offerings on other days of the week, but they don't take place particularly. Well, the prince goes out when the people go out. The prince goes in, the people go in, the prince goes out, the people go out. He dwells with them wherever they are. He is with them even when they are outside, if you will, of that Sabbath day worship. He is with them throughout the other days of the week. And that's what's being set forth here by way of this symbology. Then there are other offerings that are offered, perhaps not on the Sabbath day. Of course, this speaks to that understanding that we must have that our service to the Lord is not only on the Lord's day. There are everyday offerings that we offer unto him. We are living sacrifices 7 days of the week with a special application and efficacy to the Sabbath day. And so there are other offerings that go on during the other days of the week, as we read here in verses 9 through 15, but they are not the same as those offerings where we come into the sanctuary to commune with Christ on his Sabbath. So that's the difference between those two sections. Then we have verses 16 through 18, and I think Greenhill has it right here again when he says, okay, now when they receive an inheritance, these sons, they will never give it back. It will always be theirs. They receive their inheritance. Even in the year of Jubilee, they keep it. But the servants, they're going to have to give it back. Isn't it true that in the church you have some that fear the Lord as sons and some that fear him as slaves? That not everyone in the church, not everyone associated to the church, will indeed keep that inheritance, but will, in a sense, give it up in time because they were not true believers in Christ. And so while they shared in it, while they had a measure of utility in it, they have tasted of the good word of God. They have shared in the common operations of the Spirit of God. But in the end, they will give up. They will give up that inheritance in the year of Jubilee. It shall return to the prince. But his inheritance shall be his sons for them forever. So we learn about that even in the days of the New Testament, we will not have a completely regenerated assembly, will we? We will have some that are sons and some that are servants in the visible church. Then in verses 19 through the end of the chapter, we see how well furnished that church will be with all that she needs with regard to ministers, with regard to places of worship, with regard to those spiritual offerings that she offers in verses 19 through 24. We have, here we are now, we go toward the chambers of the north, and there was a place on two sides westward. This is the place where the priest shall boil the trespass offering, the sin offering, where they shall bake the meat offering, and they bear them not into the utter court to sanctify the people. Now, we must remember, these are terms that the Old Testament saints would have understood, and in order for us to understand them in our day, we have to enter into that mindset. There are times when we come before the Lord with the grief of our sin. Other times we come before the Lord with the praise of our thanksgiving. There are other times we come before the Lord with specially grievous sins. There are times we come before the Lord where we have sinned against him only, and then other times where we have sinned against him and others. These offerings that typified those kinds of sin in the Old Testament, they still persist unto this day. We are still offering, as it were, in our confession of sin and in our restitution when we have wronged others, those same kinds of offerings. And that's what's being said here. And there will be space for those. There will be room for those. There will be understanding for those. And there will be help in the ministry for those. And all of these things are being said here in Ezekiel 46. So, when you confess your sins before the Lord, sometimes you're going to find that this is a private sin. It's happened in your mind and it hasn't affected anyone else. And you simply owe your offering to the Lord and you give that offering. And if you need help with that, you can find help in the elders and ministers of the church to help you ferret that out, right? Isn't that what James says in chapter 5? When he says, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them come and anointing him with oil in the Lord. And if he have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. And there are other times when some of those sins that you commit are not only against the Lord, because all sin is against the Lord first and foremost, but there will be work that you need to do with your brothers and your sisters or others perhaps even in the world where you've sinned against them also. And so there will be a place for those trespass offerings. There will be a place for those sin offerings. And then at other times, there will be a place for those praise offerings, those thank offerings, those kinds of offerings that were offered when the people of God are simply enjoying the goodness of God. And they give unto him that greater portion. That will be there as well, a greater portion of devotion, a greater portion of service unto him, a greater portion of that living sacrifice that they are unto him for the great mercies wherewith he has blessed them and bestowed them upon him. I think that's what's being said here in the last part of this chapter, that this New Testament church will find room and occasion, and those offerings will continue for the people of God. With that then, let's stand and call.